We do have a beautiful Lord's Day to be able to gather together. Beautiful outside. I enjoy it when it gets over 70 degrees. I am fairly warm at 70. Anything less than that is way too cold for me. I know some have already enjoyed the coolness, and my problem is it's going to get colder. But again, that's our weather in North Alabama. It is good to be together, that we've assembled with one another to bring our worship, our adoration, praise to our God and Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we assemble, again, we desire to do this in spirit and in truth. If you're visiting with us, we hope that is your purpose as you've come to be with us this morning. The announcement that Steve made and that Violet had passed on to us, I'm very sorrowful to hear about these two young people. And again, we hope that you will remember Isaac's family and remember Montana and all the surgeries that she's going through. And anything like that just reminds us how fragile life is, how quickly things change and can change. I was looking at the shooting at the synagogue where 11 were killed and several were injured. Again, a senseless thing. It's a sign of what we're living in our society, unfortunately. There is no love, there is no care for human life any longer. I think a lot of this starts with the idea of abortion, that life is not in the womb, that that's just a fetus, that that can be aborted just really at any time. And if you begin there and you go on with the rest of life, then life just is not valuable at all. That's the time we're living in. And again, we as Christians, I think, have opportunities to talk to people, to take a stand, to help them understand how precious life should be. And again, the opportunity of knowing the Lord, of being obedient to Him, having especially eternal life. This morning, I'd like to talk about something that we usually don't talk about very much, and that is angels. And I think it must be fairly important by the number of times that it is mentioned in the Word of God. The word angel or angels from the Hebrew, malach, occurs 213 times in the Old Testament. Angelos, Greek, occurs 186 times in the New Testament. Now, if you're a math whiz here, you can add those two up and come to almost 400. 400 times. Do you think as the Lord reveals His Word that it's important that we do understand something about angels? When was the last time you thought about angels? When was the last time you said something about angels? When was the last time you studied about angels? I think there's some very interesting things. And do not misunderstand me. I don't believe that angels come and cause us to do things that we would not normally do. But I think, especially in the last part of our lesson, we're going to see that God is interested in us. And that angels are evidently here for us if we are truly Christians. The word means messenger, to deliver a message or tidings, can be sent by God or by man or by Satan. And again, Satan has his angels. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I know that God did this for me. I know that maybe an angel helped bring this about. You don't know that unless it's in accordance with the Word of God. It could be an angel of Satan that has brought about something to deceive you in some way. The only way you're going to know anything, whether it's right or whether it's evil, is compare it to what the Word of God says. So we do need to be careful in that. When we talk about angels, very simply, when asked the question, who are they? Angels are created spirits. In Psalm 148, verse 1 through 5, the psalmist says, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. Angels are not human beings that have died. I don't know where that thought comes from. I actually saw this from a preacher friend of mine out in Arkansas on Facebook yesterday, very plainly pointing this out. Angels are not people who have died. People don't come back as angels. People don't come back to this earth in any way, shape, or form. They go out of this physical realm and go to a spiritual realm that we've talked about before as Hades. Angels are created spirits by God. And when we think about creation, and again, creation by God, John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word here is the word Logos, and it is referring to Jesus the Christ. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. Apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus was in the beginning. Jesus is a creator of this world. When we give thanks for creation, do we include Jesus, the Christ, as a creator of this world? People pray to our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your creation. But Jesus was there and created everything as well as the Father. Jesus is not a created being, as some would try to teach. But angels are created spirits. They are created spirits that are lower than God. Larry read to us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. And there the Hebrew writer says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He made the world. Again, He has made the world. Also, He's spoken to us. The New Testament is the Word of Jesus Christ. When you talk about the Word of God, the New Testament, it is the Word of God, but it is the Word of Jesus Christ. And He is the radiance of His glory, an exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. He is better, He's greater than angels. This is the key word when you go through the book of Hebrews, is the word better. And again, Jesus is better than angels. Verse 5 through 7 goes on in this passage. For to which of the angels did He ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And when he brings the firstborn into the world, He says, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He says, who makes His angels winds and His ministers a flame of fire. Jesus, again, has always existed. He became the Son of God when He was born into this life. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. This is future tense. This is a quotation from 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 14. This was looking at the time that Jesus would come into this life. But He has always existed. He's not the Son of God from creation, but He's the Son of God when He came into this world. And then as He comes into the world, again, let all the angels of God worship Him. They are created spirits, angels are, that are lower than God. They are created spirits that are higher than man. They are in the spiritual realm. You know, this is something that we probably don't think about a lot. There is a spiritual realm that I believe is all around us. As we talk about angels and we talk about what they do in the last part of our lesson, we see that angels are evident in mankind's life. Have you ever seen an angel? Not that you would know of. Not that I would know of. I think it's very evident, though, we're going to talk about they take on human form. They are here for those who are heirs of salvation. And this, again, shows God's interest in human beings. But again, angels are in a spiritual realm, so they are higher than man. Again, our Hebrew writer, chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. For He did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him? or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Quotation from David's Psalm, Psalm 8, verse 6 through 8. He says, for in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Angels are above us. They are in a spiritual realm. We are living in a physical realm. These are who angels are. Angels are created spirits that are not to be worshipped. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul, in writing again about some that had gone away from the simplicity of the gospel, he says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Again, angels are not to be worshipped. They are created spirits by God, really for service unto man. And that's what we find in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Created spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Again, this was pointed out to the Lord. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Who are these that are going to inherit salvation? I hope it's you. If you are a Christian, if you are living faithfully to the Lord this morning, then you are an heir of salvation. Angels have been created to be ministers for us if we are Christians. As I've already pointed out, I don't know what they've done in my life. I have suspicions at times of how things have transpired, but I don't know. But I do know what the Hebrew writer points out, that they are spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's something we need to think about. This, again, is God's concern and desire for us. Now, I don't want you to go out this morning looking at everybody and thinking, is that an angel? That's not at all what I'm saying. But I think we do need to understand that God is concerned about us, and he cares for us. And there are ways and there are things that he will make sure to help us. When we talk about angels, and again who they are created spirits to deliver the old law. This is an interesting point that you may not have thought about or may not have recognized. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through the first part of chapter 3, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrew writers writing about the Old Testament. And again, these are things that were spoken by angels. Further, Stephen, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 53, when he's speaking to the Sanhedrin council, he says about them, you who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. Do you understand the Old Testament law was ordained, delivered, given by angels? We usually think of it, yes, Moses was the mediator, correct. But it has been delivered or ordained by angels. Further, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise has been made. The Old Testament law was delivered by angels. Next time you're going to the Old Testament, reading from it, think about that. This is something that has come, been delivered, ordained by the angels. This is God's design of delivering this, even to Moses and to those under the old law. Who are they? Angels are created spirits who do not die. We were coming to Luke chapter 20 this morning in our Bible study. I kind of hoped we'd get this far, but we didn't get this far. And as the Lord is pointing out about the Sadducees and not understanding the Word of God or the power of it, Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." There the Lord, in instructing the Sadducees, were pointing out that there is a resurrection. The word resurrection, anastasis, means whatever is laid down is going to be raised up. And again, the physical body is going to be raised. Going to be changed, as Paul points out, 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And again, to that which is spiritual and that which is eternal. There is a resurrection. And he's comparing those that will attain that age, those that will have eternal life, that they are like the angels that never die. Angels are not, do not marry, nor are they given in marriage. They are not male or female. We find two names in the entire Word of God for angels. What are those? I hope you know. Michael and Gabriel. They're male names. But again, I think from this we can understand that angels do not procreate. There is no reason for them to do that. God has not created them in such a way. They are each created beings. They are eternal. And again, they do not die. So we understand this again about angels as God's creation. Who are they? They are created spirits who can take human form. Hebrew writer, again, something very interesting, says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." The book of Hebrews was probably written just a few years before the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And even in that time, the Hebrew writer says, don't neglect hospitality. Some have entertained angels without knowing it. You think you might have ever done that? Have we ever go out of our way to do something for somebody else, maybe that we don't even know? I don't know how it works. We're not told anything else. The only thing that we might be able to see is probably where this thought comes from in Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis 18, we find that three men are going to come to Abraham. Beginning in verse 1 of Genesis 18, "Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre." Now notice, the Lord appeared to him. "While he," this is Abraham, "was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed down to the earth and said, 'My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass by, pass your servant by.'" These are three men, as far as Abraham can see and understand. One of them is the Lord. I believe two of them are angels, messengers, that are going to go on to Lot in the city of Sodom. You see that in chapter 19. Now we find here in chapter 18, as we would go on, that Abraham invites them in, quickly prepares something. And they sit down and they tell Abraham that a year from now, Sarah is going to have a son. This is a promise that Abraham had been waiting 25 years for, and it was going to be fulfilled. But then as we go on in the chapter, verse 16 through 18, "Then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed.' So the Lord tells him, 'This is what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah.' And basically Abraham bargains with him. You know, if there's 50 righteous, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, if there's 10. Even if there's 10 found righteous in the city of Sodom, the Lord says, 'I'll spare that.' But we find the Lord stays and talks with Abraham. And again in chapter 19, verse 1, Then the two angels came to Sodom in the evening. It's interesting here, and I believe this is probably the Lord Jesus Christ who appears to Abraham here, along with two angels, and again taking on human form. This was to instruct Abraham. And again, the two angels go on in chapter 19, and they try to get Lot and his family out of the city of Sodom. And Lot and his wife and two daughters do, and we know Lot's wife turns and looks back. She turns into a pillar of salt. But again, we can see God's care, the Lord's care, even through angels. For the rest of our time this morning, let's talk about what angels do. What do angels do? They are, as we've already said, ministers to the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1 verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits? All ministering spirits. Sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. How many angels are there? They are innumerable. If you go on to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, it points out that they are innumerable. We're going to talk about what the Lord says about a number of them in just a few moments. But we see that they have their purpose, that they are ministers to us if we are Christians. What do angels do? I'm going to notice several individuals that they were of help to. Now again, let me say this. You're not going to see an angel. You're not going to know that a person might be an angel. But I think we can find from the Word of God, and especially from this early time of the church and of a miraculous measure of many different things, that this was the Lord's intent to help those who are heirs of salvation by angels. We can find in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35, "Then the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of situation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive and in your womb bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus.'" And verse 32 goes on. I meant to be over here in Luke 1 to read the rest of this. And in verse 32, "And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." It points out here that Mary was very perplexed. You know, if an angel did appear, I would be more than perplexed. I would be scared. I would be afraid. In that day and time, maybe it was something that they thought would even happen. But again, he says, you're going to be with child. This child is going to be of the Holy Spirit. That's why he will be called the Son of God. So, an angel ministered to Mary. Joseph also, Matthew chapter 1, we find that Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. And as Mary is with child from the Holy Spirit, literally what we would say is Jesus was the child of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's why he is the Son of God. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" So, ministering to Joseph. Going on in chapter 2, after Jesus is born. And again, we find that Herod, finding out from the Magi, the wise men, about his birth, that he wants to kill the baby. "Now when they had gone, the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' And then in verse 19, but when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Again, an angel ministering to Joseph. Angels made known the birth of the Lord. I don't know what it would be like to be an angel. But do you think this would have been one of the most wonderful jobs that you had ever had? To be able to come and to announce to the world, to these shepherds, the birth of the Son of God and the opportunity of redemption for mankind. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 15, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. It's nighttime. These angels appeared. Has to be this great bright light. Don't be afraid. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And it goes on, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. What a great occasion. What would it have been to be one of these shepherds to know about the birth of the Lord? Angels ministered to Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, we see the three temptations that Satan brings to the Lord. And Jesus had been in the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights without food. And that first temptation, make these stones into bread. And Jesus would not. And then verse 11, when the devil left him, and behold, then the devil left him, behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Again, they were ministering to Jesus himself. Luke chapter 22, as Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he knows about what will take place very shortly, that he goes, he takes his 11 disciples with him, 8 of them stay together. 3 others, Peter, James, and John, go a little further. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. An angel appeared to strengthen the Lord. How much even God the Father cared for his Son. Matthew 26, verse 51 through 53. Again, as Jesus is about to be taken. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew his sword, Peter. And he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear, Malchus. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place. For all who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you not think I can appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? A Roman legion had 6,000 in it. This would be about 72,000 angels. You think they could have protected him? Again, this was not God's will. This was not the Lord's will. But again, we see angels ministering to Jesus. Angels ministered to Mary Magdalene and Mary. Verse 1 in Matthew 28 points out about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary coming to the tomb. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid. There it is again. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just as he is said, come see the place where he was lying. And if we go on to see of, again, the ministry to Mary Magdalene and to Mary. To the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 28 verse 18 on through verse 23. The apostles had been teaching. As they had, we find that the Jewish leaders laid hands on the apostles, put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, "Go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." Upon hearing this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even all the senate of the sons of Israel, and sent orders to the prison house for them to be brought. And we find when they come to the prison house that they are not there. And we find that it says, "But the officers who came did not find them in the prison, and they returned and reported back, saying, 'We found the prison house locked quite securely, and the guards standing at the doors, and when we had opened up, we found no one inside.'" And again, through angels, God was sending them back into the temple to preach the gospel. Angels ministered specifically to Peter. We find in Acts chapter 12 that Herod had taken James, and that he put James, the brother of John, to death with a sword. As he had, this pleased the Jews, so he took Peter also. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the doors were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, put on your sandals," and he did. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And as they went out, the prison doors opened to them. And he went on, and the church was making prayer for him, and he appeared there. And it was very hard for the church to believe that Peter had been released. Again, an angel ministered to Peter. Interesting thing, again, that an angel sent Philip to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. This is Philip the evangelist, one who had been, who we'd many times called a deacon. This was not Philip the apostle. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. "But he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasury, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship." And we find that as Philip comes to him, he finds the Ethiopian reading from Isaiah 53. And he asks Philip, "Is this man writing about himself or someone else?" And he begins at that same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they are going along their way, that the Ethiopian says, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And they both went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. An angel will never come to anyone and say, "This is what you need to do to have salvation." It never happened. It never will happen. An angel is not going to come and tell someone what they need to do. An angel may send a man as this. And this is the only way that the gospel will go to anyone else. An angel sent Philip. An angel appeared to Cornelius. This again, I think in that day and time, we find about Cornelius that he was a Roman centurion. He was a devout man, that he prayed to God, that he gave much alms to the Jewish people. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." And he tells him to send for this man named Peter. He's staying in the house of Simon the Tanner. "Go to Joppa." And he sends a soldier and two servants. And they come and they get Peter. And Peter comes and declares to them all of the counsel of God, and Cornelius and his household are baptized into Jesus Christ. An angel appeared to Cornelius. Again, that's not going to happen today. We have the gospel. But I think it's very possible for angels to help direct any of us to someone that may be in need. Final thought this morning. What angels do, again, we find an angel ministering to Paul. Paul was on a ship that was bound to Rome. He was there as a prisoner. And as they were traveling, that they had come out into the Mediterranean and were being driven by a great storm. And they had not even seen the sun or the stars for many days. And as this has occurred, then Paul is trying to assure all of those on this ship. And he says in verse 23, "For this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told.'" And it did. An angel assured Paul. The ship wrecked. They were all saved. Paul went on to Rome. Again, was able to witness in Rome, to write other books that we have. And again, eventually to be put to death. But we find an angel again ministering to Paul. What do angels do? They are ministers to heirs of salvation. You'll never see one. You'll never know that there is an angel. But this is an assurance that God does care for us. Next Sunday morning, we'd like to talk about some other things about angels. Are there guardian angels? Where are the angels that have sinned? Angels will be coming with Jesus Christ in judgment. Those are some of the things that we'll look at. But what we do understand is that the gospel teaches us what we must do to be saved. And again, in order to be heirs of salvation, this is what we must do. This morning, if you are not a Christian, if you've never been obedient to the gospel in hearing the gospel, to believe in the Lord, to repent of your sins, to confess your belief, and to be baptized. We mentioned the Ethiopian there. Again, many good examples in that book of Acts. But the Ethiopian expressed his belief in Jesus as the Son of God. The only way that he would have known that, again, was by Philip preaching to him. And by Philip's preaching to him, he understood. And he said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" I read that account over and over. And I wish every person that understood what they needed to do would be exactly that way. Here's water. What hinders me? I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to say one of these days. I'm not going to come to a better understanding. I'm going to be baptized to have my sins washed away, to become an heir of salvation. Maybe this morning as a Christian, something in your life you know that you need to change, you have that opportunity. Come while we stand and while we sing.